Listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, it's Monday. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, the beginning of a great week. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern, you can attend the 7 Keys to Concentration being hosted at the Superhuman University by Brooks Kubik. You can go to the Superhuman Radio website today through tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern to sign up. It's $9.99. It includes course materials and a one-hour audio seminar with Brooks Kubik, teaching you how to find that 500-pound bench by focusing your concentration, the strength that you have that you've never seen before resides inside you and requires a great deal of concentration to unleash. Learn how to do that tomorrow night at Superhuman University. We've got a great show planned for you today. We have Girls Gone Wild leader Molly Galbraith on the show. How you doing, Molly?
Well, I'm good, but I don't know if you're giving people the wrong idea with the Girls Gone Wild.
Oh, did I say Girls Gone Wild? I'm so sorry.
You said Girls Gone Wild.
Oh,
okay.
I feel like a schmuck now. Obviously, I'm watching late night TV for me. Girls Gone Strong. Fine. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
A faux pas.
Makes people remember us. You know, that's kind of why we did it, is because it was, well, one, it's catchy. And two is because, you know, we kind of wanted to take that phrase back and say, you know, that's not what women our age are doing. This is what women are doing.
No, so. You're absolutely right. And you're perfectly correct with that, because the Girls Gone Wild is not a tribute to women. It's actually an exploitation of women. What you're doing is empowering women, truly empowering women, to show them that women can do all the things. You know, there's been a mantra in the United States, especially, that started with the movement in feminism, that women can do everything that men can do. And the truth of the matter is that women have done everything that men have done in the civilized social structure environment. But the one area that most women don't believe that they can do everything that men can do, and is the area that Girls Gone Strong has really taken women to an uncharted territory that they didn't think they, and that is that women can be just as physically strong as men, and that the accumulation of sexy, well-placed muscle actually contributes to a woman's beauty. And this is, in my humble opinion, this was the last frontier for women to capture, to really say, hey, we can do everything that men can do, because they did everything in the workplace. They went into space. They did all these things, but they weren't doing what you're doing now. I feel like you really are closing the loop for that whole movement, quite frankly.
Well, thank you. That's what we're trying to do. You know, we kind of got together by accident. There's seven main members, and we were all kind of friends on Facebook and, you know, followed each other on Twitter, and there was just a group of us who was constantly putting out videos of ourselves lifting and, you know, just trying to spread this message, but we were all spreading it individually, which is fine. But then there was a gentleman named Brett Contreras. You may have heard of him. He's the glute guy.
Yeah.
That's his thing. He actually got several of our email addresses and sent us an email and copied all of us in the CC line, so we had all of each other's information. He said, okay, girls, do something awesome. And that was really cool. There's about 12 of us that he CC'd, and so we kind of all started talking, and one of the girls said, hey, you know, we should all get together and work out sometime. That would be awesome. And, you know, we live all over the country and even all over the world. And my good friend Julia Ledusky was getting ready for a powerlifting meet last August in Cincinnati, and there were already going to be two or three of us there. So we sent out this invitation and said, you know, hey, ladies, who's interested in going to this powerlifting meet? We can all get together for a weekend of lifting and fun and probably a little debauchery. And So six girls showed up, and we all instantly clicked. And within an hour, we were saying, you know, I want to help women. I want to empower women. I want to show them that, you know, that they can be strong and they can be fit and feminine and sexy. And, you know, we all kind of realized that we had similar messages we wanted to spread. And we said, okay, well, we can't let this die down. We've got to do something about it. And so that's kind of how Girls Gone Strong started, and we put a Facebook page up, and we're working on our website right now. We want it to be really good, so hopefully that'll be up in the next month or so, and we have apparel and all kinds of other things. We've got lots of stuff in the works, but basically the main message is, you know, teaching women that it's threefold. It's physical strength, it's mental strength, and it's strength of character, and we all have found in our own personal journeys that getting physically stronger improves our mental strength and makes us want to be better people. It makes us believe in ourselves. It improves our confidence. It does so many wonderful things. So that's kind of our goal. We want to share that with everybody. So.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And you know what? It's and what frustrates me about what you're accomplishing or trying to accomplish, as far as the haters out there, and there's women out there, who embrace this waif. Almost anorexic looking body ideal, and the notion that you can never be too skinny, and you know, as long as you fit into a size whatever, that you have achieved, yeah, you've done it, you're where you need to belong, and what they fail, and then they look at women like you and like Elisa and others, and they have these little underhanded comments like, you know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want that much muscle, you know. And the truth of the matter is, they don't have the strength of character to possibly get into the gym and build that kind of muscle. So what they're really applying here is cognitive dissonance. I don't want it because I can't have it, or I don't want it because I don't have the strength to really to push through to get it. But the reality is, they send this a double message out there that somehow that waifish anorexic look is a good thing. And that the more muscled, more athletic females is a bad thing, when the exact opposite is the truth. If you look at health, if you look at health, you look at these skinny fat women who have all sorts of disorders and are going down the road quickly to a variety of clinical and subclinical disorders and diseases, and just to look a certain way. And when you look at a woman who trains hard, eats right, gets to sleep early because her training is important, you look at her biological markers, you see nothing but pristine health. So this message is so perverse now. And unfortunately, in my humble opinion, women are being sold a bill of goods by the mainstream media that's what they should look like. And popcorn is an acceptable dessert at night before bed. It's like, oh my God, I want to bang my head against the wall sometimes when I hear this stuff. And and women buy it. They just believe it.
Well, right. And I think that a lot of it's, you know, there's kind of that old joke, women dress for women, not for men. You know, that's kind of what fashion is about. And, you know, because my boyfriend will look at an outfit, I'm like, that looks stupid. Why are you wearing, you know, because it's fashionable and you want other women to. And so that's kind of the hard thing, is I feel like a lot of times women oppress other women by judging their bodies. And that's another thing, because all of the women who are involved in Girls Gone Strong have beautiful bodies. And the funny thing is, we've all I think most of us have struggled with our weight at some point. But it's just, you know, it's, I want women to attain their best body. You know, I have a saying that if you want longer, leaner muscles, get different. If you want long, lean muscles, get different parents. If you want, you know, the best version of the body you've been given, then lift heavy, walk, sprint occasionally, meditate, get your sleep, get a little bit of sunshine, you know, eat good food. And it's because I have friends that are naturally thin, you know, and I don't want to attack the way they look, but if, you know, when they start lifting and eating properly and put on a little bit of muscle, I mean, they do end up with a very athletic look, and it's a smaller, you know, slimmer athletic look. But the thing about the waif kind of thing that
anorexia
you were talking about,
thing,
waif appearance, is that appearance is not attainable by everyone. You know, a muscular, fit, athletic look is attainable by everyone, and so it's. If you're willing to put the work in, like you said, it's a lot of discipline and hard work. But, you know, that being healthy and curvy and having some muscle, that is something that people can strive for. Being 5'10" and 105 pounds is not something that everyone can strive for. So we want women to feel beautiful in their own bodies while focusing on overall health and wellness.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I want to talk about possibly one of the worst offenders of the wrong message. And this person was brought to my attention by you.
Right.
And apparently she presents herself as being like the trainer to the stars. Her name is Tracy Anderson. And we want to talk about the bad messages that she's sending to women. Later in the show, Molly is going to answer your questions. We've got some really great questions on Facebook right now for you. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to Girls Gone Strong leader, spokesperson, Molly Galbraith. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Aromatase inhibitor shown to be stronger than ATD and 6-oxo and a SERM to rival tamoxifen. Finally, muscle-building testosterone levels. Finally, 4-Max. Old-school testosterone boosters never did quite work that well because they fell short of critical levels of testosterone needed to build muscle. They only controlled estrogen. That's like flooring a gas pedal connected to a 4-cylinder engine. No matter how hard you push, the engine isn't going to run any faster. 4-Max changes that by signaling each level of testosterone production, replacing your old 4-cylinder with a supercharged V12. Get 4-Max. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 4-Max banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before. Both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner. Ad, start enjoying dessert again. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just a reminder, Age Force is offering to my listeners a 30-day free trial of their new fat burner patch, which now contains the over-the-counter available form of thyroid hormone, T2, which does not impair normal thyroid function. It just burns fat. Bump up your thermogenesis with the Age Force patch. Get a free 30-day supply. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. We're talking with Molly Galbraith, co-founder of Girls Gone Strong. Okay, so in this bad messaging that women get, there are some chicken hawks out there, you know, and they pose as women, well-meaning women. They use credentials like trainers to the stars, and they seduce women into believing that the way they should eat, the way they should train, is really not the right way, but that's what they promote. Talk about this Tracy Anderson for a second.
Well, she drives me crazy, as you can imagine. If you don't know who she is, she promotes never using more than 3-pound weights, you know, because women are delicate flowers and, you know, don't do things like give birth to children and carry around their 50 and 75-pound children all day long. She promotes 90-minute workouts 6 days a week, mostly this kind of dance cardio routine. She promotes really low-calorie diets. And I guess I think it's funny that she talks about all these celebrities that she works with, because to me it's less impressive to get a celebrity in good shape than it is to get a regular person in good shape, because celebrities are generally the genetic elite, but that's probably a whole
other story. Well, also it should be said that celebrities generally are getting in shape. Like, they have lives that allow them to focus on one thing only for a
right.
period of time. So getting, you know, getting a celebrity in shape for a movie, the studio says, okay, we're going to start shooting in 4 months. You've got 4 months to do nothing but get in shape for this movie.
Right.
They don't have
so
to go to work.
A lot more, they
yeah.
can sleep a lot more. They've got someone cooking for them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's impossible to get in good shape. It's just a lot easier when that's kind of the lifestyle that you're allowed to lead. But yeah, so she promotes really, really light weights for women, you know, 90 minutes, 6 days a week, which right off the bat, telling someone to work out an hour and a half a day, 6 days a week, is very intimidating and kind of makes people think, well, what's the point? If I don't have 90 minutes, 6 days a week, then why am I even going to try? And, you know, she says that, you know, lifting anything more than three pound weights will bulk you up. And she said something, I believe it was an Australian magazine recently, that if you lift more than 1.5 kilograms, which is, you know, a little over 3 pounds, you'll get bulky. And to avoid Pilates and yoga, because it bulks up your rib cage.
I know. I just saw that.
And she
doesn't just say yoga. She says Bikram, which I got to tell you something. I'm a huge proponent of hot rooms like saunas, and I've done Bikram mm-hmm. yoga. Anytime you get your body temperature up a degree or two, your core temperature, you actually reverse cancer-causing agents in the body. And so she specifically attacks Bikram. She doesn't even say yoga. She says beware of Bikram and Pilates.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And she's just...
Oh, that's right. You know what? I just realized why, Molly. I'm sorry. Because, like you said, women are delicate flowers. They shouldn't sweat.
Right. Exactly. We glow, right? We
right.
don't sweat.
Right.
And it's just a disaster. You know, when she works with women like Gwyneth Paltrow and Jennifer Lopez, and like we were talking about earlier, Gwyneth Paltrow, I believe, has already been diagnosed with osteopenia, and she's in her 30s.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what osteopenia is, this is loss of muscle. This is the exact, osteoporosis is loss of bone density, and osteopenia is a constant degradation of muscle. It means your muscles are shrinking so quickly. I tell you who else has osteopenia in my bet. I'm willing mm-hmm. to bet, just because the last time I saw Brangelina, I mentioned on this show that Angelina Jolie's bicep muscle looks like a pencil.
Yeah.
Something's
tiny.
Going on with her. She looks terrible. When she stuck that little leg out of under that dress, I thought it was like a fake leg, you know, like a prop leg.
Prosthetic.
Yeah, like a prosthetic, because I thought, oh my God, she has no muscle. Her knee was actually larger than her calf.
And the calf, yeah, I saw that. And that's, you know, again, like we were talking about earlier, women have different body types, and there are plenty of people who are naturally thin, but it's being naturally thin already and then continuing to not eat. And, you know, I don't want to say that she doesn't eat, but she appears to take in, you know, very little amounts of food and not do any resistance training. And that's
the kiss of death.
Going to lead to that. Yeah, it leads to early death.
I mean, let's you know what? And okay, everybody, my audience knows about, you know, we have to use our, what is it? I can, our thinking skills for a second. I'm losing my brain here for a second because I'm really getting frustrated. We have to use our skills of looking back in time. Okay. Before all of the flash came into our lives through the media and sales of this and that. And if you look back 200 years, women worked just as hard as men on the farms and they toiled and they raised children and life was hard. And guess what? Women were healthier. They were more muscular. You didn't have women in their 60s, 70s and 80s back then who were obese like you do today.
Right.
This notion that women shouldn't toil, that they'll get bulky, is just utter nonsense. And I would challenge Tracy Anderson. I will challenge Tracy Anderson to get bulky. 6 months with no drugs, and let me see you get bulky like a man. You won't be able to do it because you don't have the hormonal profile to get bulky. Women can't get bulky. If they could, well, female bodybuilders wouldn't do anabolic steroids in the same ranges that men do them. They would just get bulky.
Right, they would just lift and get bulky. Well, the thing that people come to me all the time, well, how do I convince my girlfriend she's not going to get bulky if she lifts weights? Well, my question is, what's her definition of bulky? There's a woman named Lee Peel who did a survey of women asking them what do they think bulky looks like, and these women said that Jessica Biel looked bulky.
Oh, my God.
Jennifer Garner looks bulky. So if that's the way they feel, then I can't help. You know, if that's their opinion, I can't help
you
them.
You know what the problem is? That I would venture to say, and I'm not a psychologist, but I would venture to say the large majority of women in society today have body dysmorphia. They look at what they think. Like, I'm looking at this picture of Tracy Anderson, okay? And she's doing, I guess what you call a kickback, kneeling down, mm-hmm. Almost in a push-up move. She's got very, very little shoulder muscle. Her arms are smooth, which indicates a great deal of adipose tissue on her upper arms. You can't even see her bicep and tricep muscles flexing under the weight of her torso. She's got a skinny little legs. It could be the picture, but she doesn't look. This girl looks like she is wearing herself out. She's telling women, be prepared to exercise 6 times a week for at least 90 minutes at a time for the rest of your life. Are you? I want to curse,
right,
but I can't. Are you kidding me?
And think about the oxidative stress that comes from high intensity exercise for 90 minutes at a time. You know, that's what Jim Laird, my partner, and I at our gym, we try to explain to people that, you know, I wrote an article recently, I think I sent it to you, about, you know, when to push it and when not to push
right.
it. And, you know, your body's like a bank account, and if you take out more than you put in, which is what Americans do with their bodies and their bank accounts,
right.
you end up physically bankrupt. And there are activities that put, you know, into your bank account, and then there are activities that take out. And excessive high-intensity exercise is one of those things that takes out of your physical bank account. And it's things like intelligent exercise and good nutrition and sleep and meditation and, you know, massage and acupuncture and Epsom salt baths and foam rolling and all these wonderful recovery modalities that put money in your account. And so she's telling women who are already probably financially stressed and stressed with their spouse and stressed with their children and stressed with their jobs and, you know, just stressed to the max to go throw another 10 or 11 hours a week of exercise on top of the stress, or 9 hours a week or whatever of exercise on top of the stress that they already have. And, you know, when you know that accelerates the aging process.
Oh, never mind that. There are women who push themselves into irreversible diseases. I know a woman who taught a spinning class, and she taught elite spinners. I mean, you couldn't get it. If you went into her class, there was no rest for an hour and a half, and only the most, like, hardcore spinners even bothered to take her class. She used to teach the class, and she used to talk while she was teaching the class. She taught the class as she was going through menopause. Mm. She developed a neurological disorder, okay? Now, I can't say for fact that neurological disorder was caused by her excessive oxidative stress and her teaching 2 or 3 of these spinning classes a day, like driving her body into the ground. But I can tell you this, that she wore her body out. She wore her body out. No one can do this. Men can't do what this woman wants. I mean, guys can't go to the gym 6 days a week and train for 90 minutes a day and eat hypocaloric diets. We'd get sick too.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why we try to explain to people, you can get, if your goal is to look better and feel better, because there's a difference in training to be an elite athlete and training to look better and feel better. And that's what Jim and I try to stress to our clients all the time. If you want to be an elite athlete, then that's fine. But understand, it will probably take a couple years off your life, if not more. And, you know, Jim understood that when he did powerlifting. And, you know, if you want to do marathons or triathlons, that's fine. But the idea that that's what you should do for optimal health. You should do an Ironman, you know. I mean, that's just, it's crazy. That's not what you do for optimal health. For optimal health, you lift 2 to 3 days a week, you know, lift heavy things. And like I said, sprint occasionally and walk as often as you can and get lots of sleep and eat well. And it's funny that that's the prescription for optimal health. And that's also the prescription for an optimal body.
Right. And you know what? I'm looking at pictures of Tracy Anderson. And she claims that Pilates and Bikram yoga make a woman square and boxy, but she has no waist. So what is she doing?
Yeah,
her hips and her rib cage and her waistline are probably just a few inches different than each other. She has a boxy look. She has no muscle tone in her legs or her body at all. Her arms are soft looking. And they look like sausage casings. You know what I mean? You can't see anything. You can barely see her rib cage. Barely see her rib cage. So she's telling women, you can get the body you never thought possible. And she's saying that this is an example of that body. And I say it's not.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say her body fat's definitely going to be higher than someone like Elisa's or possibly someone like mine. I don't know.
I'm willing to bet she's skinny fat. I'll bet money that if she had a body fat assessed, it's probably close to 20%. And at her body weight, that's not saying much.
No, it's not. And, you know, I would be interested to see how much muscle she carries, what her bone density looks like.
I'd like to see her do a 315-pound hip thrust.
Exactly.
I saw those. Those are pretty impressive, by the way.
Thank you.
We'll talk more about them. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about this notion of diet. I want to get into nutrition for women for a second, because this is another big myth that needs to be bust by Molly Galbraith. She is co-founder of Girls Gone Strong. You can check out her website. She's got some fantastic videos of her training there. You want to see a strong, attractive woman, go to Molly Galbraith, GALBRAITH.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
You spin me right round. Watch out here.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chisel? chiseled abs, want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today. And do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I've gotten emails from a lot of you asking me if I tried Mass Pro Synthogen yet. Well, like many of you, I ordered it and had to wait, but it came today. So I'll be starting to experiment with Mass Pro Synthogen today. I got a call from a guy who's a law enforcement individual, so we're going to leave his name out of it, who has been using Mass Pro Synthogen, and I'm not kidding you. This is what he said to me on the phone. He said it's reminiscent of when he used to do 500 milligrams of test and 250 milligrams of DECA a week as far as the recovery and the lack of fatigue after a workout. I'm hoping to find out that that's true, and I will report my findings here on the show. Okay, we're talking with Molly Galbraith. Molly, another area that women just don't get it is caloric intake or energy intake. I hate the whole calorie thing anyway, but energy intake, the amount of food that women eat. There's this notion that if you're not seeing the changes in your body that you're looking for, that the only answer is to cut back on the amount of food you consume. This is off base, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, my most recent nutrition client, you know, because I work with people at my gym and then I do a lot of online consulting too. My most recent nutrition client came to me and she was really frustrated and, you know, she told me what she was eating. Well, first she told me she was eating 1900 calories a day. And then when she actually logged it, it was closer to around 1400.
Right.
She was 144 pounds, I believe, when she started with me. And, you know, just wasn't happy with her body, and she had been stalled at that weight for a long time. So your average kind of trainer or nutrition consultant would say, well, clearly you're eating too much, so we need to drop your calories. And I just looked at her and said, you know, sister, you're doing all this hard work, and you're not eating nearly enough. And she said, well, I'm scared. You know, I'm not losing weight now. How can adding food help me lose body fat? So we bumped her up a couple hundred. You know, you don't just want to go in and throw 1,000 calories on some, you know, 1,000 calories a day into somebody's diet. But we bumped her up a couple hundred calories, changed her nutrient timing a little bit. You know, because there's four variables that you have to work with when you're doing a diet. You have the amount of calories someone's taking in. You have their macronutrient ratios. So how much protein, carbs, and fat? You know, is it, are they a keto diet? Is it high carb? Is it low fat? There is the nutrient timing. So when they're eating, what they're eating, and there is their food sources. And, you know, they're proponents of different diets and, you know, they say, oh, well, this is the holy grail, that's the holy grail. But really it's a combination of those four things. And so we looked at her nutrient timing. We made sure that she was eating most of her carbs on days that she was lifting and the majority of her carbs were coming after training sessions. And she was eating mostly, you know, protein, fat, and vegetables on her other days. And it's been 7 weeks now and I believe she's down probably 3 pounds, but it's funny, on weeks that actually her weight was staying the same or going up a half pound, she was still losing inches. So that tells me that she's most likely gaining muscle and she's definitely losing body fat.
Is she not doing body fat assessments throughout periodically?
Well, you know, it's hard to find an accurate way to measure body fat. So if someone has access to a bod pod or to, you know, some kind of underwater method or someone who's a reliable body fat measure with calipers, then
right,
that's fine. But I usually do a combination of measurements, body weight, pictures, and then try to get them to get like a pair of jeans or a skirt or something that's been a little tight that they can try on every couple of weeks to see how that's fitting. So, because that's kind of what tells you the whole picture. You can't just do weight. You can't just do measurements. You know, you have to kind of take all of those metrics and use those to gauge progress. But anyway, this last week, she was eating 2,100 or 2,200, up to 2,900 calories a day. Now, I hadn't prescribed that much for her. I'd, you know, told her to go to between like 2,000 and 2,400. But, yeah, she was up to 2,900 calories a day, was down in weight. Her clothes are fitting better, down in all of her measurements. And she emailed me and she said, hey, how am I able, she said, I want the scientific answer. How am I able to eat so much food and lose body fat? And I said, honey, it's not that complicated. You're not eating that much food. Like 2,000 calories is not that much food. And especially when timed properly, when you're eating good stuff, even 2,000 calories from Twinkies is way different than 2,000
yes.
calories of grass-fed beef.
And that's what I was going to just say. I mean, she's eating 2,900 calories a day. I'm willing to bet that her fat intake is higher than normal, and that mm-hmm. is also very counterintuitive, because a lot of women have been lied to for so long that they believe that eating fat leads to fat accumulation, and
right.
nothing is further from the truth. I think Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale, when he published The Anabolic Diet some 20-somewhat years ago, it was really the genesis of this whole ketogenic movement within bodybuilding and strength and conditioning. He had athletes that were eating 5,000 and 6,000 calories a day, and 50% of that from fat, and they were getting leaner and leaner and leaner.
Yep, and that's why, you know, the people want to argue with, you know, calories in, calories out. And a close friend and business partner of mine used to say the amount of calories you're taking in will determine how much weight you gain or lose. The nutrient timing, the source of your food, and the macro ratio will determine whether that weight is fat or muscle, or what the composition of that weight is.
Mm.
And so I always found that pretty interesting. But people who are just calorie in, calorie out people and ignore the sources of the food and the timing of the food, you know, you can't tell me that eating, you know, 200 grams of carbs first thing when you wake up in the morning is going to have the same effect as taking in 200 carbs immediately after a heavy weight training workout.
Right. Right.
It's just not true. And so, yeah, she's eating 200 grams of fat on some days. And again, these are, you know, I gave her kind of guidelines to follow, and she follows them about 90% of the time. And then, you know, she has things come up where she's eating more fat or whatever. So that's why she sends me kind of a report of what she's doing, so that I can keep track of when she's following my recommendations and when she might be a little under or a little over. But I mean, she's through the, you know, just elated and said, you know, eating is one of my favorite things to do. Thank you so much for teaching me that I don't have to starve myself. You know, she used to worry about being hungry all the time, and that creates a weird relationship with food and obsession. You know, this kind of, you know, eating and then hating yourself after you eat. And, you know, I haven't ever had that, you know, I've never had an eating disorder. I definitely have a little bit of disordered eating, just in terms of
what's the difference?
Know so much. Eating disorder, full-blown eating disorder, you know, anorexia, bulimia, orthorexia, where you're
right.
so obsessed with healthy eating that you can't find anything to eat because you think it's not clean or it's not healthy or it's not, you know, not okay to eat. And disordered eating just means that your relationship with food is a little bit skewed. And I think anyone who's really into the fitness world has probably experienced a little bit of disordered eating. They say, you know, if you count what you eat, or you weigh what you eat, or you think about it, or you avoid food at certain situations because of how it's going to affect your body, they consider that disordered eating. So to me, that's kind of just what a health conscious person who's worried about their physique does. But you know, I've been obsessed with food for a long time. Ever since I was tiny, I can remember just, you know, loving food and always being excited about my next meal. And but I used to be obsessed with it in a bad way. I'd be dreaming of, you know, Wendy's and Mad Mushroom cheese sticks and, you know, and so now I have to eat food that tastes good, and I am constantly thinking about food, but I've always been that way. So now I can kind of focus on healthy things. And that's another thing that bothers me, when people are like, oh, it's so easy for you, you don't understand. I'm like, you have no idea. I love food just as much as the next person. It just takes some willpower, takes some discipline, and takes learning how to cook and make yourself healthy, you know, substitutes. And just, you know, being an adult and exercising some freaking willpower, you know, like you can't just have a donut every time you want it. I'm sorry, that's not how it works.
You know what's funny? Elisa and I were watching TV one morning, and they had this young child who had gastric bypass surgery.
Oh.
A young child. I mean, like, I don't remember. I want to say the kid was like 14, but maybe mm-hmm. even younger. And really sad, right? And so the investigative reporter said, so, you know, what's different about the way you eat now? And, mm-hmm. And the child said, well, now I can only have one or two slices of pizza instead of eating the whole pizza. And I'm thinking to myself, where are the parents? Like, are you serious? Oh, wait a minute. The parents probably eat an entire pizza each individually as well. You know, it's beyond me. I mean, it's like, I just can't even understand. It's like having a big pile of horse manure on your front lawn, right? And you could shovel it into a truck and drive it away. But instead of doing that, you want someone to nuke the entire neighborhood to get rid of this pile of horse manure on your lawn. It's like, no, you got to break your back, got to hold your nose, you got to shovel it into a truck, you got to drive it away. That's the right way to do it. Nuking the whole neighborhood kills everything, kills everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's like just this whole notion that the only way fat people, and look, I can say fat people, folks, was I was over 300 pounds. I was a fat person. I still got my card in my wallet, okay? But you know what? This notion that the only way that you can change yourself is to have someone surgically eliminate your stomach. I'm sorry, man. I think this is just another form of genetic selection down pressure. We're thinning the herd of weak people right now. If you want to be one of those people who your genes are not going to be in the gene pool 100 years from now, just keep doing what you're doing, because you have to understand something. You can't eat a whole pizza. All right, maybe Wade Johnson can, okay, because he's, he's squatting 1,000 pounds right now. But, you can't eat an entire pizza, for crying out loud, okay? But, exercise a little discipline.
Well, it's this, I want it now, why can't I have it, entitled kind of attitude that I feel like so many Americans have, and parents giving their kids, sweets and treats just to get them to be quiet. And,
yes.
I'm not a parent, so I don't want to attack anyone, because I'm not a single mom with three kids just trying to survive.
But you know what? I know a lot of single parents, and they don't let their kids are not fat because they're not doing that. You know what? There's a local C-store before we go into the break. There's a local convenience store. I don't know if they have them where you are out there in that, eastern Kentucky, but there's a place called Speedway here in Louisville. Speedway mm-hmm. has a commercial right now for a new slushie. And they have all these people going, oh, I love this. It so tastes so good. And the colors are great. And then the mom is putting the two kids in the car. The two kids are like 7 and 8 years old. The slushie looks like a 32-ounce plastic tub in their hand, right? And she says, the kids love it. And when they're happy, mom is happy. And she winks. Like, in other words, keep the kids quiet. Give them whatever they want. Why, wait a minute. Why stop there? Why not give the kids barbiturates and put them to sleep? Why not give them opium and put them to sleep? Then they're really happy. Right. Mom can
Why not let them go out and drink and party with their friends when they're 14 so they don't get mad at you?
Yeah,
you know?
So they don't fuss with you. Oh, my God.
Who's the adult here?
You know what? It's unbelievable. And this is the core of the obesity movement today. Just what you said, this sense of entitlement that I should be able to because I want to.
Right.
That's all it is. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's answer some listener questions. How's that sound?
Perfect.
All right, sit tight. We're talking with Molly Galbraith. She is the co-founder of Girls Gone Strong. We'll be right back.
He was six. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight, bang, bang, he shot me down.
The Ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at NeedToBuildMuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenedione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Molly Galbraith. We're going to get right into it. We've got questions from listeners. Just want to let you know something, that if you are, if your question is read today and answered by Molly, you will get a official House of Pain t-shirt that you can be proud to wear to the gym when you're acting like a girl gone strong. So, okay. The first question comes from Mary Napoli. It's actually not so much a question as much as a lament that turns into a question. She says, she posted this, Elisa shared a picture today, Molly, Start Doing and Stop Wishing. It's a picture of a muscular girl standing in front of a rack of dumbbells. And, you know, and
yeah,
so it's a great. And I actually said another good tagline for that would be Start Doing and Stop Hating, because
right.
There's a lot of girls who are haters out there of women who look like that. But anyway, Mary says it's so much easier said than done, though. You're such an inspiration to us women, but sometimes I second guess it. I guess as a mom of two young boys, I feel like, what's the point? No one is going to look at me anyway, so why do I need to be super strong or have ripped muscles? I know it's wrong to think this way. I'm trying to erase this mentality from my mind. What would you say to somebody like Mary Napoli?
Well, first of all, you know, it's not true. People, you know, people will look at you, and so I don't agree with that. But second of all, it's not about people looking at you. It's about doing it for yourself. And, you know, the attention that you get from having a nice body or from being able to lift a lot of weights can be fun, you know, if you're someone who enjoys that kind of thing. But it's just about, you know, feeling better about yourself and doing it for you. And the probably the most common kind of thing that people, that women contact us about who started lifting weights, is they contact us and say, oh my gosh, I never knew that lifting weights would make me feel so good about myself, would make me feel like I can tackle anything, would make me feel like I'm worthy. you know, would make me have all these positive feelings about myself. And so it's kind of like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do you have enough? Do you care about yourself enough? Do you love yourself enough to do this for yourself? Or does the love come later after you've done it for yourself? Does that make sense? So she needs to realize that she's valuable and that, you know, she's a mom with two young boys. It's, you know, a lot of people think taking time to work out for yourself is selfish. I think not taking time to work out for yourself is selfish because you're basically saying, okay, guys, well, I'm not going to take care of myself now, so I'm just going to leave it up to my kids or my friends or my parents or my sister. When I get sick, you know, they can take care of me. They can pay my medical bills. They can watch me suffer. And I don't think people think about it that way. They think that taking time to take care of their bodies is a selfish thing to do, and I would say it's the exact opposite.
And, I, there's one other thing that I want to throw in here, too, if I may inject here just for a second. You know, Mary, the people, guys are going to still look at you. Like, if you get into that kind of shape, why can't you be attractive and still be married and the mother of two? I mean, I see guys checking Elisa out all the time at the gym. In fact, I get a kick out of it now. Like, I'll tell, because she's totally oblivious to it. I'll say, right. This guy watched you do your walking lunges. Like, if he had laser beams in his eyes, you would have holes in your pants right now. You know, it's like she said, she's like, really? I didn't even see. I said, no, he was hiding behind the pulley machine. I mean, like, it's really cool to me. Like, you can, this notion that if you're attractive, that you're sending out signals that you're available, they are independent of each other. You can be attractive and you can have people looking at you and really liking the way you look. That doesn't mean that you're available.
Right. And it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong, you know.
Right.
It's just, you know, if you look good, people are going to stare. And, you know, if she goes to the Girls Gone Strong page, there's seven of us. And the great thing is that everybody's a little bit different. Everyone looks different. Julia Ledusky and Nagar Fanuni are both mothers. Nagar has, I believe, a five-year-old son named Isaac. She's a single mom. She's absolutely incredible, incredible body. You know, she's a mom. She's co-founder of Girls Gone Strong. She runs a Optimum Performance Training Institute in Baltimore. She was in the service. She was, she speaks a couple languages. She's amazing. And then Julia Ledusky runs the Parisi Speed School in Chicago. She's married, has two children, has an amazing body, you know, co-founder of Girls Gone Strong, runs kind of her own side consulting business. So these women are mothers. You know, we have a woman who's married, a woman who's single. Both have kids. Both have amazing bodies. Both, you know, take the time to take care of themselves and realize that prioritizing some time for them makes them better parents, makes them better at their jobs. You know, and their bodies are banging. I mean, they look amazing, and they people drool over them and go crazy over them all the time. And they're both moms. So, you know, it's just having. You have to have a burning desire for it. You can want it. You can think, oh, it would be nice if, but, you know, you have to really, really, really want it in order to change the behaviors and do what it takes to reach that goal or to get what you want.
What is the Girls Gone Strong website?
Well, it's going to be girlsgonestrong.com. It should be up hopefully in the next few weeks.
Oh, okay.
And it'll be amazing. It'll be populated with all kinds of articles and places to buy our apparel and, you know, places to, you know, to submit questions and watch videos, and we'll have, you know, training workouts and stuff that people can do. So,
and right now people can go to your website, Molly Galbraith. It's MollyGalbraith.com. It's a cool website. See Molly train, read her blog. It's a fantastic website. You should check out.
And they can also go to facebook.com/girlsgonestrong. That's where kind of our hub is right now. We're close to 20,000 likes, so that's very exciting. So we're spreading our message, and women are liking it. And we have men on there too, you know, who are just in support of women gone strong, kind of like you are, Carl. So they can go there and catch up with all of us and read our articles and whatnot.
Well, in fact, the next question actually comes from a guy, but it's a really great question because it transverses both the male and female issues about training. It's from Robert Jett, who will get a House of Pain t-shirt. He says, being a diabetic like myself, would you change any way on how a person lifts weights? And actually nutrition as well, I guess, timing. The missing question here, Robert, is are you insulin dependent or are you just using glucose mimetics like glucophage and metformin? That would be, I would want to know that too, I think. But what do you think?
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to ask, and I'm not sure. I know Robert, but I'm not sure about that. But, you know, honestly, I think for him, lifting weights is so important. I mean, we all know that, weightlifting, heavy weightlifting, increases insulin sensitivity.
Right.
And that's key for a diabetic. I mean, lifting heavy weights, honestly, we have some diabetics in our class, and they do everything the same as the other people who take our class. And, you know, they just need to ease into it. They need to pay attention. They need to listen to their bodies. They need to make sure, you know, a lot of times, I'm sure you've been in the gym, Carl, and done something really heavy or done like a heavy Widowmaker squat set, and blood sugar totally crashes and you about pass out.
Yeah,
I don't know if
yeah.
you've been there before.
Get shaky.
But I have.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right. So they need to be really, really just listen to their bodies, be really aware. But honestly, the people that we have who are diabetic train the same as the people we have who don't, so, or who aren't.
And if anything, if you are an insulin dependent diabetic, then the first thing that I would suggest is that you absolutely use a pre-workout meal of some sort with some sort of slow carbohydrate if you have to take a shot with it, which you probably will. And then obviously, train, you know, right away after that so that you have adequate amounts of blood sugar, because insulin dependent diabetics have a much more difficult time managing blood sugar clearance in the face mm-hmm. of excessive stress. So I would say a pre-workout meal with your shot, and then train, and then do everything else do it the way everybody else does it, a post-workout meal, and then every 3 hours thereafter. Now, if you're not insulin dependent at this point yet, and you're just depending on insulin mimetics and glucose clearance type drugs, then I would say that you could use a supplement like R-alpha lipoic acid to reduce your dependence on those types of drugs, which is natural and doesn't have a lot of the fat creation problems that metformin does. And train absolutely the way bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts train, eat every 3 hours, have a pre- and post-workout meal. You will probably end up, assuming that the islet cells of your pancreas have not been completely damaged, you'll probably be outside of the diabetic window in 6 months and not need those drugs
right.
anymore.
We've had several people reverse their symptoms and be able to come off insulin or come off their glucophage training with us. So, yeah, eating regular meals and making sure that you're getting enough fat and protein and like Carl said, slow digesting carbohydrates at the right times would be important.
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, this
not,
one.
Not being a doctor is kind of hard. No, I was just going to say, not being a doctor, it's kind of hard to answer those types of questions.
No, actually, I'm going to tell you something. Because you're not a doctor, you can answer those questions honestly. Because what a doctor would say would be things that would continue to make you dependent on the pharmaceuticals that you're using. A doctor would never tell, like I had a woman call me one time, a close friend of mine, who was on insulin for the past like 15 years now, but she's type 2 diabetic, but she just never controlled it. So eventually the insulin mimetics and the clearance drugs stopped working, and they said, sorry, it's time for insulin. And I said, you know, you can probably use less insulin if you take about 50 milligrams of R-alpha lipoic acid about 15 minutes before every meal. And sure enough, she started doing that. And sure enough, she's noticed that she became hypoglycemic a couple times. So she called me and said, what should you do? I says, call your doctor and have him do new blood work, but don't stop taking the alpha lipoic acid. When she went to the doctor and didn't say anything about the R-alpha lipoic acid up front, the doctor said, hey, you know what? We have to back down your insulin because it's working too well.
Wow.
And then she said, well, I'm taking this R-alpha lipoic acid. And the doctor said, oh, stop taking that. Now, she had the common sense to say, well, why would I want to stop taking it if it's making me less dependent on the insulin?
Right.
And he said, well, okay, if you want to keep taking it, take it. But I want you to monitor your blood sugar more frequently. Well, do you know that a year later she was off of her insulin?
Wow.
But
I
see,
believe
the,
it, yeah.
yeah.
He had to say what it would take to not get sued if something happened.
Well, no, I know. No, I understand. But here the doctor's saying, well, stop taking the R-alpha lipoic acid, and now
right,
she doesn't take insulin anymore.
Yep.
So
and if she had stopped taking the R-alpha lipoic acid, she may still be on insulin.
Yeah,
so.
There are very few doctors out there who have not been co-opted by the pharmaceutical agenda. And unfortunately, that skews their answers. They're going to tell you things because they're taught to tell you these things. It's not because they're dishonest or scandalous. They're going to tell you things that will keep you dependent on those drugs, whether it's good for you or not. That's just the hard and cold truth of it. You know what? We have to take one last break. And when we come back, we've got about three questions to burn through. We're talking with Molly Galbraith. She is the co-founder of Girls Gone Strong. Their website will be up shortly, but in the meantime, go to Molly's website. It's Molly Galbraith, GALBRAITH.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge them.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com. Fit.com and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Bananas.
Welcome back. Okay. Back to the questions at hand. This one comes from Chris Freeman. Actually, a very good question. Hey, Molly. Hope you're doing well. When constructing a strength program for a female, what would your teaching progression for single leg movements be? For example, would you teach a step up or a static lunge first? And could you give a couple teaching progressions for each? And, you know, men don't do enough of single leg stuff, by the way, so this is good, so pay attention.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Chris is actually a buddy of mine, really, really great trainer, very smart. Yeah, I would totally start them with something like a low box step up or a split squat, a static split squat, just holding it in the bottom. It's funny, people think that they need to get all fancy their first day in the gym and do a weighted Bulgarian split squat, and then they can't even hold a static lunge in the bottom. So for a step up, I would start with a low box step up, make sure that they're pulling themselves up through their front leg, pulling up through the heel, that they're keeping their hip, say their right foot was on the box, the right hip will have a tendency to jut out. That's kind of some glute medius weakness. So make sure that they're driving through the heel, keeping that hip sucked in. As they get better, they can add a little bit of weight to the lower box. Then they can move up to a little bit higher box, drop the weight down a little bit, work on getting more range of motion on the higher box, and then increase in weight again. I like to do offset loading with step up. So, you know, maybe holding it just in one hand, you get a little bit of the core work doing that. I love split squats. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a kind of a split squat fanatic. Our progression that we generally use is holding a static split squat in the bottom, then progressing to actually doing a split squat. So the person's moving up and down for repetitions, moving to a reverse lunge, then a forward lunge, then a walking lunge, and then kind of a Bulgarian split squat. And just because you've progressed to something like a, you know, Bulgarian split squat or a walking lunge doesn't mean that you can't ever go back and do a reverse lunge and load it up a little bit heavier. So you can use the easier variations once you've progressed to a harder one and just load it up a little bit more just for variety. Love single leg glute bridges, single leg hip thrusts, teaching people to use their glutes. We'll generally start somebody on the ground with a double leg glute bridge, then progress them to a single leg, then put their back up on a bench. They get more range of motion, kind of do that Brett Contreras hip thrust. Single leg RDLs are good. I would start them off, make sure obviously they can do a regular Romanian deadlift first, then have them do a broomstick single leg RDL. I don't know if you're familiar with those, Carl, but you hold a broomstick on your back and make sure that it touches you know, the top of your butt, right at the tailbone, the mm-hmm. upper back, and the back of the head to ensure mm-hmm. the spine's neutral, and teach them to really push back in their hips. So go from a single leg RDL with a broomstick to weighted in one hand, and then you could switch to weighted in both hands. And then kind of one of the most difficult would be the pistol squat. So the single leg squat, start them out on a nice high bench and make sure that their knee's not caving in, make sure their hip's not jutting out, and then slowly progress them down to a lower box and lower box and lower box until they're able to do it without a box.
So the pistol squat is something that every figure skater tries to learn, but they call it a shoot the duck while they're moving on the ice. Have you ever seen them do it?
Where they, I've seen them do it. It looks hard.
Yeah, my daughters used to do it when they were figure skaters. I mean, they go down on one leg into a squat with your one leg pointing straight mm-hmm. out in front of you. But you know what? Interesting. And I never thought about this, but that's how they teach it. They don't teach someone to do a shoot the duck, like as one motion. They don't say, okay, go ahead and try it. They first get them to just do static holds at the bottom for a long time. So you can get that feeling. You can get that imprint in your mind of where you want to be. And then they slowly have them move up and hold statics at different points. So you almost have these impression points in your mind where the muscle develops a little memory, if you will.
Right, of what you're doing. And I actually, when I do pistols, I have poor ankle mobility from years of wearing heels and having really tight calves. So I can do a pistol, but I have to elevate my heel about two, maybe two, 3 inches, something like that. So I'm working on that right now. But that's another thing to think about. If your person struggles to do a pistol squat, look at why they're struggling. They might have the strength, or they might, you know, have the stability, but they don't have the mobility.
Mobility, yeah.
Or, you know, they might have the mobility and the stability, but don't have the strength. So, those are pretty tough, and that would probably be one of my final progressions. But yeah, I'm a big fan of step ups, split squats, single leg RDLs, single leg glute bridges, and hip thrusts, pistol squats, all kinds of stuff.
Now, the hip thrust that you're doing on your website with 315 across mm-hmm. your hips there. Your back is up on a bench, so that really, while you call that a hip thrust, that really is more like a glute bridge, isn't it?
And that's it's something that Brett Contreras kind of invented and popularized. You can call it a hip thrust, or you can call it a back supported glute bridge. It's just kind of semantics. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a glute bridge with an increased range of motion. You can see how much further you can move the weight because your back's supported. And those are, they're fun and they're great for you. Great.
What do they translate to for, like, are they good to help you with your deadlift or your squat?
Yeah, a lot of people use them, absolutely for deadlifts as an accessory movement for deadlifts. They're great for females for building nice shapely glutes. My friend Kelly Hart Davis works with Brett Contreras a lot, and she has one of the nicest booties I have ever seen, and she's about 120 something pounds and can do them with, can do them for reps with 225. She might even be able to do them with 315 as well, but, and you can switch it up. You can go really heavy for fewer reps. You can go a little bit lighter for more reps. You can pause at the bottom in between. You can keep tension and never put your, you know, never put your butt down on the floor. You can do paused holds at the top. There's lots of different ways you can do them. You can do them single leg. I have a friend who does them with his other foot on a bench and his back on a bench, and then single leg with a bar across his hips with like 135, and that's really cool. That increases the range of motion even further. So you have to be careful to make sure that your back is not taking up the slack. And make sure that you don't hyperextend at the top, because that's a big issue for a lot of people doing that exercise. But absolutely, it's fantastic accessory movement for your deadlift, teaching you how to bring the hips hard.
Right, right. All right, this last question comes from Cher Ford McCullough. And this is really a good question. What exercises are recommended for people like myself with COPD? We need to keep moving to expand lung capacity, but it's difficult.
Right. I'm actually not super familiar with COPD. You might be a better one to answer that question, Carl. But walking is one of the best things that you can do in general for health, for body composition, and it's not taxing on the body either. So walking, maybe some less intense exercises like Tai Chi, maybe some more restorative yoga. I mean, I don't see any reason why, or even weight lifting weights with just lower reps, less, or more time between sets, so that you're not getting your heart rate up as high, you're not having to gasp and breathe as heavy. But you might be a better person to.
Well, first of all, there is emerging research that points to leptin as an antagonist of COPD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and this is why individuals who have either been obese for a period of their lives or carrying a bit more body fat than they should also tend to develop COPD, whether they were smokers or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I did a show recently that pointed to the linkage between asthma and lipase, the enzyme lipase in women. And so that was inflammatory reaction to asthmatic response in women, and was linked to women with increased body fat. And so when I was talking to this doctor, I said, so what's on the front for COPD? And he laughed and he said, you know, you're quite instinctive. We're working on a study right now, but I can tell you that there is a direct linkage between leptin as an antagonist of COPD. Individuals who develop leptin resistance due to obesity also have developed COPD. So
wow.
I would say to you this, whether you are carrying a bit more body fat than not, you should start to look to a more Paleolithic style of eating, a more ancestral style of diet, so that you can reduce body fat regardless of exercise. I mean, if you start eating a higher protein, higher healthy fat, a higher vegetables, organic vegetable type diet, you will start to shed body fat whether you're exercising or not. Because if you can get your leptin under control, you may find that your COPD subsides. Now, the other thing that you need to look at are anti-inflammatory agents, natural like curcumin and ginger extract, because we know that COPD and the episodes, it's episodic, the episodes of COPD clearly have a linkage to the inflammatory response inside the alveoli of the lungs. So anything that will reduce inflammation should be of a benefit to the individual suffering from COPD. But there is hope. There's actually, according to this doctor who I spoke to off the air a couple times as well, that they're saying that if they could get people to get their leptin under control, that the COPD may actually become manageable without drugs and or subside.
Wow. And doesn't it all go back to inflammation?
Unfortunately, really, yes. Unfortunately, yes. And we live in a pro-inflammatory environment today. We breathe it. We live in it. We rub up against it. We eat it. We drink it. You know, it's like we live in an environment of pro-inflammation. Is it any wonder why cancer is so widespread today?
No. And I definitely agree that there, you know, exercise is important. We absolutely know that. But it is not hard to lose body fat and to get close to where you want to be with walking and a sound diet.
Yeah.
Like you said, a Paleolithic style diet. I believe Rob Wolf is a good friend of my partner, Jim Laird's, and he, with a lot of his clients and another guy that we're good buddies with, John Kiefer, everybody calls him Kiefer, they recommend that people just get their diet under control first and don't even worry about the exercise.
Which now that you invoked Rob Wolf, the other thing that Rob would make you do, share, would be to start to use fish oil, because we know that the phospholipid form of omega-3s, as Del Musa recently posted in his blog, are the most effective. So the plant sources are really ineffective. And fish oil and krill oil are the best sources of those. And we know that those omega-3 fatty acids, as Dr. Michael Smith has talked about on the show from Life Extension, actually suppress inflammation on a genetic level. So, and I know, I mean, when you said Rob has been on the show numerous times, Rob would say, well, we'd get her on fish oil to reduce her whole body. And I would say fish oil, curcumin, and ginger extract. Also, ginger extract would also thin your blood, which makes it easier for it to get into inflamed blood vessels blood pathways. And so your blood would be a little bit thinner and your pulmonary system would be under a little bit less stress as well. And the other thing that I would say, and I know you and Jim are very big proponents of, just, you know, walking and not pushing so far that you're damaging the body, unless you are an athlete and you have goals, and the goals then preclude health. And I agree with you.
Healthy enough to push yourself. You know, you have to earn the right to be able to kick your own ass. That's what I like to say.
Yes. But I could talk from experience from, you know, back in 1998, 1999, when I had developed this arrhythmia, when I first started to train, and I came off of the drugs that the doctor put me on, when I would train excessively, my heart rate would start to go crazy. I would break into bouts of tachycardia, or I would notice that my heart rate would start to, I would get like palpitations. So what I decided to do was to, and this is just me, I'm not suggesting anybody do this, but this was me, okay? I came up with this notion that my body had everything it needed to repair itself, but it had to know that I wanted it to be repaired. So I had to take it into territory that I hadn't taken it in before, or maybe in a long time, so that my body would go, oh, he's going to be doing this regularly, so we better get our act together and fix these problems, because we're going to be here often. So I regularly took my heart rate up into those ranges where it just started to palpitate. And I did it purposely. And I kept track of it and how hard I had to work to get to those ranges again. This is while I was shedding 100 and something pounds. And
wow.
You know what? A lot of people believe in hormesis, that the body is adaptive, and whatever you give it, the body will adapt to. There's an old saying that you can get used to hanging if you hang long enough, you know? And so you push your body into just gently into those zones where you start gasping for air, then back off, recover, and gently push your body into those zones, because what's going to happen is this. Stem cells are in your body not because nature intended for scientists to rip them out and grow them in petri dishes, but they're in there because they are the repair mechanisms for organs and systems. We have two things in our body already. We have stem cells, and we have the protein DNAs, which carry the blueprints for the cells to become whatever they are supposed to become. What you must get from your diet is real vitamin A. I would suggest to you that you also get a good cod liver oil that has adequate amounts of vitamin A, and start taking that and start challenging your body gently. so that your body starts going, we need to repair these systems because Cher is going to be here often now. Now, I'm not saying push your body to where you end up in the hospital, but just gently feel those zones where you feel like, wow, I'm really working hard right now. Then back down. And you'll notice that those zones will start to go up on their own because the body will start to supercompensate. And that's been my personal experience.
Incredible. And well, you know, and I was actually having this discussion the other day with a friend of mine about overtraining and is overtraining possible and do people even train hard enough to overtrain? And, you know, there's one camp that says it's not really possible, that, you know, people are just weak and, you know, and there's another camp that says, oh, you know, overtraining happens all the time. And, you know, kind of my argument is, well, people walk into the gym overtrained, kind of like I was talking about with their stress and their lack of sleep and their poor nutrition,
right,
and their financial stress and life stress and work stress. So it's not that they work so hard in the gym that they overtrain. It's that they don't have the ability to recover from what they're doing. But, you know, the body's an incredible adaptive mechanism, like you said. You know, if someone starts doing construction 8, 9, 10 hours a day, well, you know, then they have to go back into it the next day. Then they have to go back into it the next day. You know, if you told someone lifting heavy 50 hours a week is a good idea, you know, that sounds crazy and like they'd be overtraining, but the body will eventually adapt to it. So, like you said, I don't necessarily think that that's a bad idea as long as she, you know, pushes herself, gently, and like you said, gets the body used to being in those kind of uncomfortable ranges so that her body, you know, will repair the problem in the first place.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Vitamin D is also so important just for general health. You know, getting a little bit of sunshine, 10, 15, 20 minutes of sunshine most days of the week is important, and getting enough sleep. I mean, those both help with systemic inflammation. So,
yeah, all good. And that brings us back to the most important thing that you can take away from any of these types of interviews is that there is no silver bullet to any of this. It's everything. You have to do everything. You have to exercise. You have to get adequate sleep. You have to include the proper things in your diet. You have to get sun. You have to work. And you know what? There is a lot to be said for work. We work out today, but there's a lot to be said for actually getting into the gym periodically and spending a couple hours there working like you were a laborer. I did this recently in a 4.5-hour session, and I gained new perspective on this notion of work versus working out. I'm not saying that you should be like Tracy, what's her name?
Tracy Anderson.
Where you have to commit 90 minutes a day every day for the rest of your life and starve yourself. And, you know, her message is, you want to look good, you have to be miserable. It's like, no, right, you don't have to be miserable to look good. So, anyway.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I guess you'd asked earlier about if there was anything that I wanted to plug. There was one thing. Something that Chase Bank and Living Social are doing, it's called missionsmallbusiness.com, and they're giving out grants of up to $250,000 to between 4 and 12 small businesses, but you have to have votes. You have to have at least 250 votes to be considered eligible. And so I applied for our gym, for J&M Strength and Conditioning, because what we do, we use our training and our exercise and training classes as a platform to speak to people about nutrition and stress management and supplements and sleep. And, you know, in turn, these people go and tell their friends and they change what their kids are eating. And then their kids start talking to their friends about what they're eating and, you know, start bringing different things for lunch. And so it's just really, we're really trying to start a movement. And Girls Gone Strong is kind of my movement on a global scale. And J&M is kind of my movement on a local scale, just trying to teach people it doesn't have to be that hard. You can do it. You can integrate it into your life, and you can be healthier. And so if you go to missionsmallbusiness.com and then you look up Lexington, Kentucky, if you click on Kentucky, and then it'll give you the option to choose Lexington, and go to page 6. It's J&M Strength and Conditioning. Click vote. You can log in with Facebook. We would really, really appreciate it. We only have a few days left. We just found out about this the other day. We only have a few days left to get to 250 votes to even be considered. And you know, we could really use the money to expand our operation and bring somebody in so that we can help more people. So that would be fantastic.
There you go.
Missionsmallbusiness.com.
Yeah, so help Molly out and Jim Laird with their gym. They have a great gym in Lexington, Kentucky. So regardless of where you live, go there and vote for them.
You need to come down here.
What's that?
I said you and Elisa still need to come down.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, I know, and we will. So. I promise, we really will. We've talked about it before. It's just that you know how it is. There's just so much going on all the time. It's just
totally,
never
but
changes.
Yeah, it's just we're against beating people to death. You know, it's training smarter, not harder, and just you know teaching them how to live their lifestyle. We don't just bring them in 6 days a week and beat them into the ground for an hour. We're trying to change their life and make it so that their training allows them to do whatever they want in life. Their training should not be their life. Training should enhance their life. So that's what we're trying to get across. So, well, thank you so much.
Wait. I got a question for you. What do you think about Five Fingers? And I'll tell you why I'm asking you that. You like them?
Oh, I actually love them. I'm not sure what you're going to say about them. I got them about 3.5 years ago and think that they're fantastic. I think that people put them on and do activities in them that are too advanced too quickly, and I think that's very problematic. I mean, when I got mine, I started out just wearing them, you know, wearing them around the house. Then I started wearing them for, you know, my warm up at the gym. Then I eventually started lifting in them. Then I started doing a sprint or two in them. And now I'm up to being able to wear them all the time. But I love them. They look terrible, but I love them.
Well, so. And this is why I actually interviewed the director of marketing for Vibram when they first came out with these. I actually did a show about almost three years ago. 2.5 years ago, and I called it the paleo shoe because it really did remind me of, you know, what a caveman could wear. Well, and I've been wearing them ever since, but recently I started doing very heavy farmer's walks for 30 and 40 minutes at a time around the neighborhood as a form of advanced cardio. And I've been doing them in my Five Fingers. And I've hurt my feet. And the girl from Vibram told me to, you know, go easy with them. There's muscles in your feet that you never use wearing a mitten shoe that you don't realize it. And so, I mean, I figured I'm wearing them for a few years now, but doing heavy loaded walking, I have muscles in my arches that are killing me all the time now.
I'm just like, no, that's yikes.
Yeah.
That's like I said, when I first started out, I would do, you know, I warmed up in them and then did a little bit more of my workout in them and then did more and then would go for like 30 or 40 minute walks, you know, unweighted or wearing a small weight vest or something. And it took me a while to work up to sprinting in them, and sprinting still, if I do it on concrete, will still hurt me a little bit. But I have some New Balance Minimists that I wear sometimes too. They're a little bit more fashionable.
They're flat, right? And they're real thin.
Street friendly. So I like those a whole lot. But the Vibrams, I don't know if I would recommend wearing those for super heavy farmer walks for that long.
I'm gonna get a shoe with an arch in it from now on, I think.
In general, I love them. And, you know, it's not something, it doesn't have to be either or. You know, you can wear your Vibram or your Vibrams a lot of the time and then wear another shoe the rest of the time. But I think as much time as you can spend in that kind of natural foot placement, and, you know, letting the toes spread out the way that they're supposed to and kind of grip the ground. I think as much time as you can spend in that state, the better. So
Absolutely. Listen, Molly, thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was fantastic, and I appreciate it. We'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, let me know when the website is up, and we'll have you back on. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right, thanks for listening today. By the way, everybody whose question was used today will be reaching out to you on Facebook to get your mailing address and shirt size because you will be getting a House of Pain t-shirt. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.